Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April 3rd, 2026. Today is Good Friday. This is a reading from the first letter of Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Here ends the reading. A number of years ago, I read a compelling opinion piece in the New York Times, co-authored by a theologian and an undertaker. The general theme of the article was how Americans were either unwilling or unable to deal with death, and in particular, the bodies of the dead. The quip in the article that has stuck with me was this line: Americans are so uncomfortable with death, we no longer invite the dead to their own funerals. As a pastor through the years, I've been around death and the dead a fair amount. I often recall the words of my pastoral theology professor from seminary. Preachers only have two subjects, God and death. Everything else is just footnotes. Even with the plethora of crosses that are everywhere in the building that houses the congregation I serve, I'm aware that for the most part and for most of the time, they are invisible to us. They are a barely noticed part of the liturgical scenery. But on Good Friday, we drag out a big, heavy, not particularly lovely cross and set it at the top of the chancel steps so that it cannot be ignored. On Maundy Thursday, we've stripped away every bit of scenery around the altar. No chairs, no kneelers. It's stark, and you can't help but look at the cross. Yeah, the big old cross. We cannot help but see it, and we must see it, even if for only a few minutes, so that we can consider what the cross means and why the cross matters. Rowan Williams, in reflecting on the cross in the early church, writes, "The early Christians must have felt that they had no option but to talk about the cross. They knew that because of the death of Jesus on the cross, their universe had changed. They no longer lived in the same world. They expressed this with enormous force, talking about a new creation, about liberation from slavery. They talked about the transformation of their whole lives, and they pinned it down to the events that we remember each Good Friday." Good Friday reminds us, I believe, in no uncertain terms, that the one we Christians worship as Savior and Lord, and church dogma teaches is God in the flesh, suffered a gruesome and horrifying death. He wasn't pretending. While crucifixion was a preferred form of social control and capital punishment for the Roman Empire, we believe that the death of Jesus on the cross turned the world upside down, even if the world at the time didn't know it, and the world in our time doesn't recognize it. Even though I understand the reticence to sit with the reality of death, and the particularly horrific way that Jesus died, Good Friday confronts us with both the depth of human cruelty and the reality of God's love, which ultimately overcomes cruelty, sin, and even death itself. The challenge of Good Friday is also its beauty. We are face to face with mortality. Death is constitutive of being human. And in remembering this particular death, we Christians believe we see good news, The news that God will stop at nothing in order to bring us through the power of death and into the newness of life that can only be described as eternal. It's like the hymnist writes, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime." Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross that he might draw the whole world to himself, mercifully grant that we who glory in the mystery of our redemption may have grace to take up our cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.